ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, My dear King, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tad Badham, Yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Titikshava Karunaka Surata Sarva Dehinam Ajata Satrava Santa Sarva Sadhu Bhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Trinadapi sunichena taror api sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues, who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, it may be asked, why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all the accusations and curses? Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is, yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnav and be delivered. When Jagai and Madhai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly. And therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, Text 44. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes that the Lord empowers his devotees to perform different acts in different ways. Daksha, son of Brahma, was empowered by Krishna through his illusory energy to perform the service of procreating a population within the universe. So actually, it was his duty. This is his service, to have a lot of children. By his great powers, being specifically empowered by illusory energy, he could have children in an inconceivable way. So in his duty, from his wife, Panchajani, he begot 10,000 sons. They were known as the Hariyashvas. Now Daksha, knowing the principles of Dharma, understood very well that in order to be a noble and proper grihastha, there must be proper training. So he sent them to perform tapasya for 10,000 years. Hare Krishna. They went to the western part of India, where the river Sindhu meets the ocean. The place is called Narayan Sar. And there they performed very much austerities. And they were meditating. Narada Muni, who's the empowered representative of the super soul in everyone's heart, Krishna, was sent there. And he preached to them. Very nicely he preached to them and convinced them, you're doing such nice austerities and your meditation is very good. Now you should get the best for what you're paying for. Do you really want to use the results of all this tapasya for the bondage of having children and all the implications involved in that? You don't have to do that. Some people have to do that, but you don't have to do that. Better you attain the ultimate goal of life with your austerities. Become renunciist brahmacharis. So they accepted what Narada Muni said because they were very pious and very intelligent. They became very happy. They never returned home. Daksha was very sad. So he tried again. From his wife, he had 1,000 sons, known as the Shalavashvas. And these sons, even though Daksha understood the risk of sending them to the same place, he did it because he understood he had really no right to be a parent. He had no right to ask his children to have grandchildren unless they had the proper samskaras, unless they performed the proper austerities and were trained in the culture, Prabhupada says, of real religion. So they went to Narayan Sar and they began to perform tapasya. Narada Muni appeared. And Narada Muni spoke to them very, very effectively. He said it is the Vedic principle of dharma that if your elder brothers are pious and religious, that the younger brothers should follow in their footsteps. And then he explained the same philosophy of the bondages of the material world and how the soul is eternal, we're not this body, and our ultimate friend and goal is Krishna and loving service to him. So they followed in the footsteps of brothers. They were happy, but someone was not happy. And that was Daksha. He was burning with anger. Not only was he, in his opinion, spoiling his whole family life, he was never going to see his sons again. But he was also interfering with his service. And you know, in Krishna consciousness, there's different services, and sometimes there is an overlapping or a conflict. He took this as a serious conflict. Now, if you were Narada Muni, what would you do? He probably wouldn't go to Daksha's house at that point. But Narada Muni is a sadhu. Just to deliver Daksha, Narada Muni, right from Narayan Sar, came right to Daksha's house. When Daksha saw him, he was trembling in anger. He couldn't control himself. Immediately he began to blaspheme Narada Muni in so many harsh words. That you call yourself a sadhu, you are destroying the principles of culture and religion. You have destroyed all of these children's lives. Unless a person, a young person, practices religious principles, cultivates knowledge, and simultaneously experiences the happiness and the sufferings of this world, then they can never give it up ultimately. They have to have this experience. It's not just theoretical. So you have spoiled the lives of my children. You call yourself an associate of the Lord, but you are not compassionate. You are a great offender. He spoke very harshly toward Narada. And Narada stood there and listened and listened and listened as tons of blasphemy was thrown toward him. And he culminated his criticism of Narada by cursing him, that I curse you, that you will have to travel for all of your life throughout the universe. You will never, ever have any fixed place of residence. Now to him, this is the worst possible curse he could give. But Narada Muni, tad badham, he replied, yes, what you have said is very good. I accept this curse. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is explaining that this is actually the quality of sadhu. Tatekshava kurunaka sura dasarvadehina. Bhagavatam describes the various qualities of a great soul. The first one is tatekshava, tolerance. Now, if we study how Prabhupada describes tolerance, it is inseparable from forgiveness. To be tolerant means to be forgiving. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining the necessity of such tolerance and such humility to be a preacher. Prabhupada quotes, Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. It is interesting. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he began his Gaudiya Math in India. And a very historical event was he was sending some of his most experienced preachers to the West, to London. This was a very important event in the Gaudiya Math. There's a wonderful transcript of the lecture, which were the final instructions for his disciples who was sending, he was sending to the Western world. And it's amazing. The prominent theme of those instructions is if when you go to the West, the method in which you preach is taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinarapi sunichena, taror ivasihishuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You must be humble like the straw in the street. Tolerant like a tree. Ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. He amplified that wonderful verse. This is what preaching means. He quoted Prabodhananda Saraswati. And explained, and actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati repeatedly explained, this is the mood of a preacher. To take straw between your teeth, which actually represents humbling yourself to an extreme. If someone saw straw between your teeth today, they would think you're cleaning your teeth or something. But at that time, it really meant something. It was symbolic. We're reading, be humble like straw in the street. The straw in the street is on the ground and everybody's stepping on it, but you're considering yourself lower than the straw, so you're picking up the straw and putting it in the highest possible place you can keep it in your body, in your mouth. And with straw between your teeth, with folded palms, with great respect, you approach people and tell them, my dear sir, you are very learned. You have great knowledge. You are very pious. You are very experienced in the world. And in this way, by humbly approaching them, they gain your confidence. They gain your respect. They like you. And once they open their heart to you, then you continue and say, now, my dear sir, whatever you've known, please put it all aside. Because it's all nonsense. And hear these glorious teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the way he said you must preach when you go to the Western world. You must first win their hearts, gain their trust by your humility, your tolerance, and your respect. Anuttama Prabhu often quotes Prabhupada that he said, you will tell who are my devotees because they are ladies and gentlemen. Perfectly. This is what we are hearing from Prabhupada's Gurudev also. So Srila Prabhupada, how he followed that principle of his spiritual master. How wonderful. It is parampara. Prabhupada explains that just as Narada Muni was cursed by the parents of the Haryashvas. Similarly, when my students took to the renounced order of life, their parents also cursed me. He said, this is the parampara of Narada Muni. And even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught by his own example. Bhakti Marg Swami was speaking very nicely the other day of how a devotee sees the positive opportunity in every situation of life. That's how we make spiritual advancement. Even the greatest injustices, the greatest tragedies, the most insurmountable obstacles, when they come upon us, a devotee is not depressed or bewildered. A devotee is always looking. Krishna is the ultimate controller. In fact, in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is very nicely explained how Lord Chaitanya was going to go from Santipur to Puri because he had just taken sannyas and his mother asked him to live in Puri instead of Vrindavan. So Advaita Prabhu said, my lord, you should not go now because there are too many obstacles. There is wars between various kingdoms and so many dacoits. Wait, too many obstacles. And Lord Chaitanya said, I will go now. When will there ever be a time when there is no obstacles? And Advaita Prabhu said, yes, my Lord, all obstacles are your servants. That means whatever obstacles come in the path of a devotee are actually the mercy of the Lord upon that devotee. For the great pure devotees, they demonstrate to the world their unflinching commitment to the mission of the Lord, no matter what expense it may cost them personally. That is compassion. And for the progressing devotees who want to make spiritual advancement, obstacles make us strong. That's the law of nature. Resistance make us strong. It's like an athlete. The more you could lifting something, weights or running, it's actually resistance. Without resistance, you don't become strong physically. Similarly, intellectually, when you go to the colleges, there's exams, there's tests. Nobody likes them. It's an obstacle to your sense gratification and your free-flowing mind. But that obstacle makes strong. And similarly in spiritual life, the Lord provides wonderful obstacles for his devotees to make us strong. And what really does it mean to become strong in Krishna consciousness? Strength is to the degree we take shelter of Krishna's mercy. Daivi yeshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya. We have no power or strength to overcome the three modes of material nature. But if we surrender to Krishna by his mercy, everything is possible. And how do we surrender? That is the subject of Gita. We must perform our spiritual duties according to the order of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra with determination, with tolerance. And by pursuing executing the order of Guru without deviation, no matter what obstacle comes, and taking shelter of Krishna and crying out for his mercy, for his help in helpless situations, that's how we become strong. So it is a great benediction. Thus, Advaitacharya explained that obstacles are your servants, my Lord. They are there to help your devotee to go back home, back to Godhead. This is our parampara. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, previous to this incident, was every night having wonderful kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. In fact, before he began that 1 year of all-night kirtan in Srivas's house, he gave the devotees instructions of how to chant. Actually, it was just, on Ekadasi. He told Srivas Thakur and all the other devotees, he said, we are having kirtan all day, but at night we are wasting so much time sleeping. From this day on, we will do kirtan all day and all night as well. Now, if someone were to tell you that, you probably wouldn't be as ecstatic as hearing about Lord Chaitanya telling other people that. But they were ecstatic. And then Lord Chaitanya explained the verse, Harinama, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gataranyata. That in the age of Kali, there is no other way except the chanting of the holy names to become purified. And how? How to chant the name of the Lord constantly? The Lord explained this verse. Trinadapi sunichena, taror ibasihishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And he explained the nature of a grass's humility. Everyone is stepping on it, throwing things on it, and the grass never complains, never criticizes, never blames anyone else for his been downtrodden under everyone's feet, but graciously accepts. And tolerance of tree. In the winter, the tree stands in the cold. In the summer, the tree stands in the sun. And the tree's always serving others by giving its shade, by giving its wood, by giving its flowers. That is tolerance. To always respect others and expect none in return. Lord Chaitanya said, in this way we could chant the name of the Lord constantly. How is that? Because when we live by these principles, we please the Lord. And when we please the Lord, then he manifests himself within the name. Radharani manifests herself within her name, Hare Krishna. And when they manifest themselves, the higher taste awakens. And then it's not an austerity to chant constantly. It's an irresistible reality in our life to constantly chant the holy names. Thus, Lord Chaitanya said, take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, and put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. Never forget it. So they were having these kirtans. But because the kirtans were so deeply spiritual in the rasas of Vrindavan, the common people could not understand. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged that all the doors and windows were locked. Sometimes they had these kirtans at Srivasa's house, sometimes at Chandrasekhar's house, sometimes at Lord Chaitanya's house. One night, a very learned, qualified Brahman desired to see Lord Chaitanya's dance, because he heard about the extraordinary beauty of Lord Chaitanya's dancing. So he came to the door and he knocked on that door. And nobody answered. And he knocked and he knocked. And one devotee came and said, no, no one's allowed in. He was offended. No one ever treated him like that before. He's a Brahmin. The next day, Lord Chaitanya went to take his bath in the Ganga. And who do you think he met? That Brahmin. The Brahmin, his lips were trembling. His eyes were red like hot coals. He was so angry. His entire body was shaking. He pointed his finger at the Lord in so much rage and said, you offended me, a Brahmin. I went to enter the door of the house that you were dancing, and a sinful, wretched Brahmin forbade me to come in. Because you left me standing outside that door, I curse you that you will be left outside the door of your household life. And then the Brahmin just began trembling like a volcano of anger. He said, I cannot tolerate being left outside someone's door. Therefore, you, I curse you. And then he broke his Brahmin thread that you will lose everything and stand outside of your household life with no home, with no family. He was angry. Lord Chaitanya heard this curse and smiled with a very happy heart. He said, thank you very much. You have fulfilled my desire. Now this completely took this Brahmin off guard. Lord Chaitanya was blissful. He was thanking him. So the Brahmin got all his anger out through his mouth. And he saw the Lord's love, his compassion, his kindness, his tolerance. He realized what he did. And he cried out, "What have I done? What have I done? I've cursed you." He said, "Actually, you're the super soul in my heart. You're the one who made me curse you." He said, "I know your plan. You're going to take sannyas and you're going to travel all over the world and you're going to spread the glories of the holy name. You're going to break open the treasure house of ecstatic love of God and you're going to distribute the contents profusely to everyone and anyone without discrimination. Everyone's going to get your mercy except for me. I will be the only one not wounded by the arrows of ecstatic love of God that you're going to be shooting into everyone's hearts. Because I've offended you." He fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet, begging for forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, "Actually, you are fulfilling my desire." The Lord picked him up and embraced him. Upon the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Brahman began trembling in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya awarded him the perfection of life, ecstatic love for Krishna. So this is our parampara. We may not have the power of Lord Chaitanya or Narada Muni, but if we try to do good for others, there will be obstacles, there will be curses. It is the nature of the world. And to be a preacher means to be tolerant, means to be forgiving. It is the constant theme of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, our history. We read about Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhupada is explaining Jagai and Madhai. They actually were intending to kill him. Prabhupada explains they crashed him on the head with a pot and he was bleeding profusely. But he didn't go away. He just stood there waiting for them to repent, continuing to preach to them. Haridas Thakur, when he was brought before the king, the Qazi was blaspheming him like anything, saying he's ruining all religion in the world. And the king said, "Just read your own scripture and stop all this preaching of another person's religion, and we'll respectfully let you go." But Haridas honestly told him, "No, I cannot stop preaching the glories of Krishna's holy names. You could cut my body in millions of pieces and all pieces will be chanting Hare Krishna." So he was sentenced to death. They beat him brutally through 22 marketplaces. Public execution. Very humiliating. And ultimately, just to satisfy the executioners, he said, "If my being alive after 22 marketplaces, if you're going to get in trouble for not being able to kill me, then just see what I do." And then he just meditated on Krishna and all symptoms of life ceased to exist. Hare Krishna. What to do with his body? The Qazi said, "We cannot bury him. Because that's the proper that's the proper ceremony for one of us. He will go to paradise if we bury him." And the Hindu Brahmin said, "You can't burn him because he's born in an untouchable family. So what to do with him? Throw him in the river." Just like garbage, they threw him in the river. And he floated for some time, and then he rose from the dead. Now what do you think he did? Dancing in ecstasy, he went right back to the king's place. Went right back to where the king's village was. When the king saw him, and the Qazi saw him, and the executioner saw him, they fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. Begged forgiveness. And Haridas Thakur not only forgave him, but blessed them with love. And then he went and there was an assembly of some nice devotees and they were asking Haridas, "You know, why did you have to go through that?" I mean, it was being beaten through 22 marketplaces. It was severe. Why did you have to go through that? And Haridas exhibited his humility. He said, because I listened to the blasphemy of Krishna's holy names, therefore I deserved much worse than this. The sinful act of mine, of hearing blasphemy, I deserved so much worse, but Krishna is so kind, he only gave me a small portion of. That is our parampara. Prabhupada quotes Lord Jesus Christ. Ghastly torture, beating, crucifixion. And in his last moments, he's praying to God, not for revenge. He's praying to God, forgive them. They know not what they do. Thakur Bhakti Vinod prays, Jiva Doya, Krishna Nam, Sarva Dharma Sar. That the essence of all religion is the chanting of the holy names and showing compassion to all living entities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is actually the symptom of love. That the prema of Krishna, if we have love for Krishna, when that love is directed toward devotees, it manifests as intimate friendship. When that love of Krishna is directed toward conditioned souls, it manifests as genuine compassion. Compassion is the highest spirit of service. That is why Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that there is no one more dear to me than that person who shares my message with others. And this was Srila Prabhupada's very, very deep, mature understanding, realization of what it means to please Krishna. In the spiritual world, Krishna's performing his leelas with the gopis and gopas eternally. But Krishna descends into this world specifically to deliver the fallen souls, to attract them back home, back to Godhead. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. It's only out of compassion that Krishna comes to this world. So what is the greatest service we can do for Krishna while we're in this world? Assist him in his mission. Krishna loves every living entity. Krishna wants everyone to have the chance to be happy with him. So whether it is Ambarish Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj or any of the great Vaishnavas that we read about in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they were willing to endure all sorts of difficulties and sufferings voluntarily to help others to love Krishna. And that is what Prabhupada was so pleased with. He demonstrated in his own life what obstacles he endured. 70 years old, Jaladuta, heart attacks, seasickness, living just close by in Butler, Pennsylvania, in a condition that was unthinkable for a Vaishnav from Vrindavan. And then New York City, in Bowery, Lower East Side. The kinds of people he had to deal with. Srila Prabhupada had his return ticket on Jaladuta. It appeared he was making no progress for months and months and months in all of his letters to India. Everyone was just telling him to come back. It's impossible. You cannot succeed. Come back. Ill health, old age, total poverty. He came to America with nothing except a box of books and 40 rupees. Couldn't even exchange the rupees. And he had no supporters and no friends. That's an obstacle. Why didn't he go back? He had the ticket. He tolerated. And he pursued. And then when he started making devotees at 26 Second Avenue, then he really had to tolerate even more. I mean, here's the only Vaishnavas in the West, and they, you know, just the day before they came, they were taking illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. They didn't know what in the world God was, and their habits were like animals by Vedic standards. So much he tolerated. At every stage, he just kept giving, giving, forgiving, compassion, spoon-feeding. And as the movement grew more and more and more, he had to tolerate more and more and forgive more and more and show more and more compassion. And yes, he was blasphemed. He admits himself that he, in this chapter, that he was cursed by parents because they couldn't understand the spiritual gift he was giving. But he persevered. Why? Because of his love. We should at least theoretically try to comprehend Prabhupada's mood. It wasn't that he was theoretically giving something. You know, some of us, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to preach. He wanted us to distribute his books. And we know it's good for people. Theoretically. And we may have some shadow of experience of how it's good for people. But sometimes, you know, we're struggling ourselves. You know, am I really sure I want to give a person this type of thing? Yes, I do, because Prabhupada has said, because the Bhagavatam has said. We have some realization. But Srila Prabhupada was seeing Krishna, the all-beautiful, glorious, threefold bending form of Shamsundar. Srila Prabhupada is the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. He's experiencing the ecstasy of this love in his heart. 70-year-old man walking through the gruesome metropolis of Manhattan. He's seeing stretched limousines, people with jewels and gowns and tuxedos and living in plush offices and penthouses. And Prabhupada's weeping and crying in sympathy for them. Because they don't understand the treasure of love of God that is within their heart. Thus, he was willing to tolerate anything to give them Krishna. That is sadhu. That is Vaishnava. We may not be on that platform, but to follow in the footsteps of such a soul and to try to assist such a soul, Srila Prabhupada, that is the path of ultimate perfection. Humility must be cultivated simultaneous to the chanting of the holy name. It's not that the idea, if we just chant, we'll become humble. That may take many births. Because if we're not humble, we'll be making so many aparads to the holy names. The holy names will have minimal benefits to us. But if we're actually humble, if we're actually tolerant and forgiving, then practically automatically we're avoiding all the 10 offenses to the holy names. Examine all the 10 offenses. Just apply humility to it. If we're humble, we submissively accept what Prabhupada and the scriptures say about the Vedic literatures and about bhakti. So that's humility. We won't make offenses. So yes, we must cultivate this humble service attitude. And when that is combined with the chanting of the holy names, then Krishna manifests his full potency, his mercy in reciprocation and cleanses our hearts. Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavakni nipapanam anandam buddhivaratanam. And then that bliss we're always searching for awakens within us. This is the very essence, the very foundational basis of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Humility, forgiveness, compassion, simultaneously strictly following the principles in the association of devotees and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we can actually become instruments of Lord Chaitanya's love and compassion toward all living entities. We can be, Prabhupada prayed, let me just be a puppet, Krishna. Let me just be a dancing wooden puppet, and you make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. That should be our prayer to Srila Prabhupada. Let me just be your puppet. Manifest your love and kindness through us. Then we could do something wonderful. Narada Muni, he felt such deep love for the man who hated him. He sat there. He just sat there and listened to all these offenses because he knew that after Daksha gets it all out, he's going to eventually repent. And then there's a chance that Narada Muni could make him a Vaishnava. How much he tolerated. And he accepted a curse to be a benediction. Because he was saying everything is ultimately coming for Krishna. He wasn't saying, Daksha cursed me. He was saying, Krishna wants me to travel and preach. Parivrajakacharya. Narada Muni Vajayivina Radhika Ramana Name. Thus, we're all singing about Narada Muni. He's traveling around the universe, playing his veena, propounding the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. And actually, it worked. In the next chapter, we'll find that Daksha, after Narada Muni, he didn't fight. He didn't fight fire with fire. He fought fire with humility. Now, Prabhupada explains, you know, preachers sometimes have to be bold like warriors. Yes, it's like sometimes Prabhupada would talk about, you rascal. Is that humble? Yes. One time in India, in Bombay, one very cultured, wealthy guest in Prabhupada's room, quite learned, he said, you know, Prabhupada, why do you call us rascals? And Prabhupada just became very... He was calling rascal very bold and very loud. Rascal! And Prabhupada, very humble, he said, actually, I'm not calling you rascal. He said, Krishna's calling you rascal. Here in Bhagavad Gita, namam duskritanor mudha. Avajananti ma mudha. He said, Krishna's calling people rascals who are like this. If you're like this, then... He said, if Krishna says you're like this, he said, what can I do? I'm just his humble servant, just a humble delivery man, just delivering his message. So although Prabhupada was so bold, kicked Darwin in face with boot, actually, it was humility. Because he was simply acting from the core of his heart just as the puppet, the instrument of Krishna. Serving these people by delivering them Krishna's message as it is. Yes, that is real humility. That is the ultimate humility. Actual preaching were effective really to the degree we repeat things as it is, with realization. Because the realization actually connects so that we really know
what will help this person? Srila Prabhupada was an extraordinary preacher. He could be so uncompromising on one level and so kind and forgiving on another level. On one level, he says, if a sannyasi breaks his vows, he's eating his own vomit. Abominable. But then when a sannyasi did that, Prabhupada gave gifts to that ex-sannyasi to give to his wife and child, newborn child, to encourage him to, yes, this is the uncompromised standard, but this is what you need to continue on so that maybe someday you'll come to that platform. That was Prabhupada. He preached the supreme glories, but he had the compassion to understand what it takes to bring a person to that standard. I was with one very famous Mayavadi sannyasi. My confession. And although Prabhupada just, you know what he says about Mayavadis. And their philosophy. And this person's a Mayavadi. Look at Dr. Mishra. He was a Mayavadi. I remember I met one man at the Rainbow Gathering. He had long matted hair, gray hair. He wore no clothes, not a single thread of clothes on his entire body. And I was serving halava. And he came up to the line. And I looked at him. He really looked like a Naga Baba. He was probably in his late 60s, but he was American. I couldn't figure out what he was. He was not an ordinary hippie, that's for sure. And he said, do you know Swamiji? I said, Swamiji? I said, you mean Prabhupada? He said, you know, he used to go to Dr. Mishra's ashram. I said, oh, yes, yes. He said, oh, I know Swamiji. In 1965, I was going to Dr. Mishra's ashram. And he wasn't allowed to speak. He would sit in the back of the room. And I went back there to meet him. And Swamiji told me, Dr. Mishra's a very nice man. He's my good friend. But he speaks all nonsense. So he was preaching to him. Dr. Mishra was on the stage preaching and Prabhupada's in the back preaching. Now, although Prabhupada, philosophically, he had debates with Dr. Mishra. He was a Mayavadi. But when Dr. Mishra was sick, Prabhupada nursed him to health. Dr. Mishra said, he saved my life. The love and devotion he put into the food that he cooked for me every day when I was sick saved my life. This is Srila Prabhupada. Uncompromising philosophically, but the practical application was so compassionate to the person. He speaks all nonsense, but he was serving him with love. Srila Prabhupada was very deep. His realizations of compassion were profound. And a real preacher is one who tries according to our capacity to understand Prabhupada's uncompromising spirit and simultaneously his compassionate nature to bring people to that platform. Sometimes he was hard like thunderbolt and sometimes soft like rose. Whatever a person needed to awaken their love for Krishna. So Narada Muni's technique worked. Daksha repented. And after repenting and begging forgiveness from Narada Muni for doing this, because Narada Muni his forgiveness just overpowered him. He became calm. Then Brahma told Daksha that it's your duty to have children. I will end today's class by explaining what Daksha did. From that day on, he only gave birth to girls. Bhagavatam says, gave birth to so many nice young girls and got them married to rishis. Because he knew if he had any boys, Narada Muni would get them. He knew that Narada Muni would not try to disturb girls and bring them to the renounced order of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Would any of our senior exalted Vaishnavas like to speak some realization on this subject? Roma Padma, not Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Please. Goddess Saraswati has spoken through your tongue. Because I'm very deeply immersed in the illusory energy. Very deeply sunk into the ocean of material existence. So yes, I must confess. Thank you. Yes, Lakshmi Narsingha Prabhu. By trying to become like you. Everyone knows Lakshmi Narasingha. Incredible Vaishnava. He's really a person who has just accepted Prabhupada as his life, his soul, and his everything. And we're so grateful to you, Prabhu. I thought it was a good answer. Actually, if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll be constantly hearing about great souls and their qualities of forgiveness, tolerance, humility, and total dedication and fearless service to the Lord. Coming from the lips of Srila Prabhupada, hearing about these personalities, we're actually in the direct association of these personalities. Who you associate with, you become like that. Prabhupada said, if you put iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. So by associating with such great souls, those qualities are imbibed within our own heart. They are awakened within our own heart. So this is the importance of reading Prabhupada's books and discussing these great persons, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In that association, our ideals become deeper and deeper, that I want to be like that. I want to follow in their footsteps. That becomes our goal. That becomes our ideal. That becomes what we strive for. So it is very important to associate with people who are advanced in Krishna consciousness through our hearing and through the company that we keep, and strive for it. And as a tapasya, try for it. Even a gross materialist will act humble and respectful just to get some money from you. Yes? The airline hostess will come and say, oh, you, dear sir, can I give you this? But actually, they want to throw it right in your face sometimes. I've spoken to them. I hate this person. He drives me mad. But then he comes, they go, oh, please. It's for some money. Well, we're being given the highest treasure of prema bhakti, the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So yes, we must act humble, especially to Vaishnavas, because they're the very, very dear associates of the Lord and Guru, and ultimately to every living entity. So as an austerity, we must be respectful. We must be humble. We must be forgiving. We must be tolerant, even if we don't feel it. We do it. We speak it. That's not artificial. That's the process. That's how we express to Krishna that this is my desire. And if we express this desire and sincerely take shelter, attentively chanting the holy names, then Krishna in his name will reciprocate with our desire and actually awaken the true quality of humility, tolerance, forgiveness, compassion, and love. That is our process. Just please Krishna through our efforts and through our chanting, and he will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. Does that answer your question? Ramapad Maharaj. Please, please. That's what we're all waiting for.
Nothing.
So my answer was approved by Parampara. Thank you. Thank you. That is Srila Prabhupada's love for his disciples. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Rupa Vilas Prabhu.
You didn't tell us about your meeting with the Mayavadis.
That's right, I did. By nature, I'm derailed. yes. This Mayavadi was this is maybe 10 years ago. He was asking me, he said, please tell me about Prabhupada's life. I want to hear it. And he said, Prabhupada was so kind. He loved me so much. He said, I met him in New York and he was so kind to me. And I went to the San Francisco Ratha Yatra and he embraced me and showed so much kindness to me. Now, he's the head of one of the biggest missions in the world. And because of Prabhupada's kindness to him, he just wanted to know about Prabhupada. So I was telling him the life of Prabhupada, and I got to the point where Srila Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he bowed down, and his Gurudev told him that it was their first meeting. He said, you are an intelligent young man. You should bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the whole world in the English language. When I said that, this person, it was just the two of us alone in a room. He started to cry. We were sitting on two chairs. He jumped up from his chair with tears in his eyes and raised his finger like that. He said, that was not an instruction. That was divine prophecy. And he just wanted to hear more and more. He was just listening to Prabhupada's glories. Now, you know, he's Mayavadi, but Prabhupada, although it philosophically was smashing him, on a personal level, he somehow opened his heart so the person loved Prabhupada and wanted to hear more and more. And he appreciated Prabhupada. He invited me to his ashram to speak to his international students in Rishikesh. It was about 600. And he started telling all of them the glories of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada has done what nobody else has ever done. He's the greatest saint. He was just glorifying them. I mean, Prabhupada, like anything. Now, you know, what can I say? It's Prabhupada's mercy to him. Obviously, we don't want to listen to that philosophy, but at the same time, Prabhupada may have hated the disease, but ultimately, he did the needful to somehow or other connect that person's heart to Krishna by appreciating Krishna's pure devotee. That's what I was going to say. That Prabhupada's philosophically, he just never compromised. But how he applied the philosophy practically in his life was with such deep compassion and realization of how to bring the heart of a living entity closer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I thank you very much.